This is Seattle's Morning News. Let's talk about housing and rents with a man who knows all about them, Windermere Chief Economist Matthew Gardner. The monthly housing report for January is up. And let's just start talking about rents, because that's what people are worried about. There's so much building going on in Seattle. And according to free market economics, the more capacity there is, the more downward pressure there should be on rents. So are we seeing any downward pressure on rents?
Interesting. You're talking about the classic Econ 101, supply-demand. Add on supply, you've got a finite amount of demand. That can actually function to lower prices. Have we seen that now? No, we haven't. And there's lots of different reasons for it. Predominantly, we've seen constructions, a lot of cranes. I think we still have more cranes in Seattle than any other city in America. But those projects actually started back in 2012, 2013. So we're not seeing 1 year where we see a massive jump, but we've just seen a continuous growth and evolution in the apartment market. Now, why have we not been seeing rents go down? Great question. We've got a lot of supply. However, at the same time, we still seem to have very significant demand. We're creating a lot of jobs downtown, certainly a lot of technology-based jobs. These are people that don't want to live out in the suburbs, do want to live in that urban environment. And for right now, we seem to be almost in equilibrium. But that said, I have noticed over the last probably close to a year, more signs of concessions. Now, what concessions are is a business will say, you can rent my apartment, I'll give you 1 month off rent, or I'll give you several free months of parking. So when you start seeing that, it's interesting. That does tell me that everyone's fighting for the same tenant. And so because of that, I expect to see not so much rental rates drop, but certainly a fairly significant rate in rental rate growth.
Okay, so for people looking to buy or sell, it looks like prices have gone up year over year substantially.
Yes, they have. I mean, if you look at it, what's interesting is a couple of things, one of which in King County, you've seen prices up by almost 4.5%. That might not sound very much, but it was you and I talking probably 6-7 months ago. Year over year, it was negative.
Yeah.
Some people were thinking, okay, this is going to be great. House prices are dropping. It was a blip. I said then that was going to be the case. That is clearly shown in the numbers. So belief the market is there. It's certainly come back. A number of listings, there's nothing to buy. And what we have seen, certainly in the month of January, whereas a lot of people tended to wait until later on the spring before they decide we are going to start looking for a house, they've really come hot out the gates January 2nd. Mm-hmm. So a lot of demand, but no supply.
Really?
Because there's no supply, pending sales dropped, obviously.
So
limited choice.
So Seattle, year over year, up 3.3%. But look at this. I mean, Snohomish County, up 12%. Pierce County, up 15%.
Exactly. And again, something we've touched on several occasions. It's that drive to buy. Most of the jobs certainly are being created in King County and mainly in Seattle. We'll probably see 30,000 jobs in the county this year. There's a value to our time. We'll pay more to live closer to where we need to be. That's forced people further and further out. Historically, they went up to Snohomish County. Now what we're seeing is that they're looking south because, as you can see, there is clearly a delta in price between Pierce County and Snohomish County. So I think you're going to see greater interest and demand for housing. But what's going to be the consequence? What's going to be the cost?
Okay, as an economist, let's talk about the other factor that seems to have the stock market gyrating. That's coronavirus. For a while there, investors were freaked out, and then people started realizing, well, wait a second, the ordinary flu is way worse than this, so what are we freaking out about? And
right.
So they freaked out in the other direction. What impact is this likely to have on Washington State, given all the trade we do with China?
I would say at the present time, I'm not that worried about it. I think there could be certainly a lag effect. And I'll be honest with you, we talk about what worries me about Washington State. I'm more concerned about the 737 and recertification there, significantly so, than I am about coronavirus. Now, certainly there's a lot of freaking out. But let me give you a comparison. If Boeing does not deliver commercial aircraft in Q1 because of the issues they've got, that can reduce U.S. GDP by over 0.2%. So we're not talking about something that just affects Washington. It can actually be demonstrative of slow down the U.S. economy. So I think that's more troublesome. I think coronavirus, we've had other issues, Hunter virus, the bird flu, and these kinds of things in the past. We've got through them. I think we'll get through this one, but it's a classic whiplash mentality. Wall Street does that. Something happens, they immediately pull back, which they did, and then realize, it's not a death knell, and they start moving forward again. So, yes, we do. Obviously, China is our major trade partner. We export more to China than any other nation in the world. And so it will be interesting to see over time what effects there could be. But quite frankly, on a dollar basis, I'm not seeing it as something that can really put significant headwinds in terms of growth in the Washington state economy.
Yeah. So let's talk about the 737 MAX crisis. If it is that big, I mean, this one aircraft is affecting the entire country. What's the effect going to be on the local area? Is that going to, at some point, does that end up, let's say, depressing housing prices here, as the legendary 1970s Boeing bust
Absolutely.
Did?
Absolutely. 1972, last time people left Washington State was 1973.
Yeah.
So because of the Boeing bust. A couple of things, one of which is I watched last week. I was immensely happy to see the 777X take off.
Yes.
That was spectacular. It's going to be going up against Airbus in a very, very big way. For the twin aisle jet market. So that was a good thing to see. I think they will recertify the 737, probably the FAA, likely in the next 3 to 4 months. So it's going to happen. So is it a big issue? Yes, it is. Does Boeing need to kind of get its ducks in line in a far more demonstrative way? Absolutely, they do. So I think they're going to get there, although Boeing themselves are being very cautious and saying, you know, we're not sure when that's going to happen.
Right, which is good.
Which is good. However, at the same time, the FAA said perhaps Boeing is being a bit overly cautious.
Overly cautious now? Well, in this current climate, that's probably better.
So I think ultimately when we talk about housing, we've already seen people being moved out to California, to Moses Lake, to take care of the existing fleet. We are starting to see some layoffs in other aerospace-associated businesses. One up in Arlington, I believe, has just announced layoffs there until such times as they start selling things to Boeing again. However, in the bigger picture, has it got the capacity? No. And the reason for this is very simple. Boeing, without a doubt, is remarkably important to our regional and our state economy. Dollar basis, by far our biggest exporter of aircraft. However, at the same time, what was different between now and 1973 is the diversification
right.
that we've seen. Boeing was created, 1917 in South Lake Union? We went where they went until the 70s. And then as they were starting to refigure themselves out, there was a little podunk two-person office in Albuquerque, New Mexico, trying to figure out computers. Well, they became Microsoft.
Right.
So I think it is that diversification which can be very protective to our economy regionally, certainly. And I never like it when any one market relies on one company or one asset class.
Look at Detroit.
Exactly. Right. They lost. We
lucked out up here.
They didn't create a job for 10 years
in
Detroit.
It's fortunate that both Bill Boeing and Bill Gates decided they wanted to put their companies here. Windermere Chief Economist Matthew Gardner. Matthew, thank you.